This is Twa Teams One Street from the Evening Telegraph, the only podcast as obsessed with Dundee and Dundee United as you are. On this episode, we are joined by Chris Dodge to preview Dundee's trip to Morton, United's must-win clash at Kilmarnock, and can the Sainties lift the cup? Hello, I'm Callum Woodger, and welcome to another edition of Twa Teams One Street. I'm joined, as ever, by George Cran.
Hello.
And Graham Finnan's here as well.
Hello, everyone.
We've also got a very special guest this week. We are joined once again by... He's a regular guest, actually. He's become like a residency for us on Twa Teams. We've got Chris Dodds here from the Greenock Telegraph to talk us through a little bit about Dundee's opponents at the weekend. Morton, how you doing, mate?
Not bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. I guess we'll just jump straight into that. We'll jump straight into Dundee. George, there was meant to be... We're recording this podcast on a Wednesday because there was meant to be a game on Tuesday night, but that got postponed again. The fourth time we've seen that game go. You must have the company about a week of shifts of all the days off you've had.
that's not the way it works. No,
nope.
Not in my book.
Disappointing for Dundee to have that game off after what was quite a disappointing loss to Queen of the South at the weekend.
Yeah, they were poor against Queens, particularly the first half. They looked like they hadn't played in 3 weeks, which is obviously what was the case because all the games called off. And I think. Yeah, they really wanted to have that game nice and quick and try and get that out of the system. And I would have expected that they could have shaken off that rust from Saturday going into a game on Tuesday. So it was disappointing, I think, for everybody involved, not least because it's the fourth time it's been called off. And Dundee are obviously got a few games to catch up on now. And the next, 3 weeks are all Saturday, Tuesday. So it's probably the most important part of the season at the moment. They really need to get going. And the good thing about having all these games in close succession is that if they get some... I almost went for my word there, momentum. They can really roll on and pick up the points quickly.
Yeah,
I managed that. Did you see that?
No, you did. You did exceptionally well. I'm absolutely.
I can't believe I set myself up for that. That was really stupid.
No, I'm stunned. To be fair, I'm absolutely stunned. Yeah. Bale, just on the Queen of the South game, Dundee for you deservedly beaten, and is James McPate going to start feeling the pressure a wee bit after that result?
Well, I'm looking at the game itself. I mean, right from the outset. I mean, where could it possibly go wrong? Right from the start, you know, they've got possession. They give it away to throw in. The Queen's player goes up the park. The rest of his teammates are about 60 yards, I would say, behind him. Lee Ashcroft, there's no real danger unless the Queen's player, you know, produces a wee bit of magic. You've got Fontaine there as well. And for some inexplicable reason, Lee Ashcroft leans into him. The Queen of the South guy slowed down in the box. That's what strikers do. Lee Ashcroft shouldn't be putting a hand on him in the box. And he said, thanks very much. I'll have that. And down he went. And the referee went, okay. I was a wee bit soft, but you know what? We've seen them given before. And straight away, it's an uphill battle. You know, and then that, like George said, that first half, they were really off the pace. Now, that might have been the fact that they hadn't had a game for over a fortnight. But they were poor. And defensively, again, they lose a poor second goal across into the box. But the guy gets in first, knocks it in. And it's a mountain to climb. And Dundee have done it all too often this season, I'm afraid. You know, and this is, you know, their Achilles heel. They keep giving away goals. They've only had two clean sheets all season. I think, what was it, Arbroath? And I hope this is a good home. I think it was against Morton at Dens Park. But other than that, they've been leaking goals, and it's not just one goal. I mean, you go back, obviously, I think the Hearts game, you could maybe, that was a fantastic game. There were some great goals in that game. Okay, Hearts got six, Hibs got four against them, but Hibs are a Premier League team. But you look at the games, they've lost three at Dunfermline, they've lost three to Raith Rovers, they've lost three to Alloa, they've lost two to Ayr United, they've lost two to Inverness. Now, you are going to lose goals in games, but that gives you a mountain to climb. If you're losing two goals in the game, you've got to score three goals to win the game. And that's the position that Dundee found themselves in the second half. And to be fair, they gave it a right good go, and I think there was some real plus points in that second half, especially. I think the plus points for me in the game were we saw Jason Cummins getting up to speed, we saw Paul McMullen looking lively, he was sharp. But again, defensively, the third goal, I've got to say, Wally Gibson, anybody who knows Wally Gibson, George, you'll know him, you know what he can do. You know, he's a tidy player, comes forward, and he had a warning 5 minutes earlier when he came forward from right back. And I've got to say, Liam Fontaine putting a challenge that your granny would have been ashamed of as he skipped past him. And he rifled it over the crossbar, and that could have been 3-1 there. And then 5 minutes later, lo and behold, here he comes again, marauding forward, and nobody steps out to challenge him. And it's too late, and he gets on his left foot, and what a strike it was. But fair play to him, what a strike. I will say, in James McPake's defence, he obviously changed things at half-time, and he took off Sean Byrne, who normally sits in that hole, and I doubt very much if Ollie Gibson would have got away with that twice. But after that, I mean, fair play to Dundee. They got to go back, and they probably could have taking something from the game, you know, and I do think at 2-1, the referee chalks a goal off. It's a wee bit soft to him. Is it Barry Cook was the ref? You know,
I haven't seen the replay again. I think he probably got it wrong.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of him at Dens, and I'll be hoping no see much more of him at Dens, to be perfectly honest, after that decision and the penalty kick as well. But Dundee have got to tighten up at the back. They've got to close that back door, or they're going nowhere fast. Any good work they do, they're undermined, or they'll always find themselves chasing games, and as they've found it to their cost, it's cost them dearly this season, you know. So that's what they'll be working on in training this week, I'm sure. Obviously disappointing the game was off last night, you know, to get that Queen's game out of the system, but anybody who was in Dundee last night and saw the wind and the rain, you know, it was blowing a hoolie, as they say. So probably with the pitch in the state it was, you know, and the wind, it wouldn't have been a great spectacle. Hopefully they can get back on track at Morton on Saturday. But you know, anybody going to Carlow and thinking it's going to be easy, you know, they need to have a look at themselves.
Yeah.
So what to do for Dundee, certainly.
What I will say is, Bear, you've clearly not seen my granny play football, because she's a tough tackling midfielder. So, but just on this game coming up, Chris, Dundee coming down to Carlow to play Morton. It will be a tough one for them. They'll be under. No illusions, and it's such a tight league, and you've seen that with the result on Saturday with Queens actually leapfrogging, much to George's delight, Dundee in the table into the top four. So it's going to be a tight battle. Morton have still got aspirations of finishing high up the table as well, I take it.
Yeah, they do. The belief's still there that they can salvage a few wins together before the end of the season and get back into the playoff places. Whether the Hearts result came at the right time or not is another thing, or if they can use it as a platform to go and build on, as another thing as well. I think the three fixtures that they were supposed to have was Inverness, Hearts, and then obviously this game this weekend, so it was going to be a tough ask to come away looking positive from it. But you never know. It is at Capello. I think they lost the last two at Capello, but they'll be looking to make things right. And just in speaking to people this week, they are really hoping that they can kick on from that one on Saturday as well.
Yeah, George, Charlie Adam came out this week and after the Queen's game and said that this game, or I think he was actually talking about the air game until it got postponed, but you know, it is this game now. It's now or never for Dundee. Is that something you would go along with?
Yeah, I mean, you look at where they are on the table. They're sitting fifth out of the playoff spots, and well, the league's so tight that they're only 3 points off the relegation playoff spot, which is incredible, really, just the way the league's gone. So, they need to start picking up points. They've got, obviously, Morton and then Inverness quickly on the back of it on Tuesday. And then it's Hearts at Tynecastle, I think.
Yeah. So they've got seven games in March alone. I mean, the sheer amount of fixtures, I know what that's like. St. Mirren had 8 games. You know, this month's just finishing right now, and it can take a lot of your squad. You know, they're going to have to be right at it and pick up a lot of points to get back into it.
Aye, definitely, because you can't expect that Dunfermline and Raith will keep dropping points. That's just the way the league's been, that everybody's kind of beating everybody at the moment. But Dundee really need to start showing, because you look at their squad and they should be sitting in second. I've no doubt about that with the players they've got at their disposal with Charlie Adam being a big one of them, but obviously with the two men up front, you got So and Cummings and Paul McMullen. Well, they were the front three on Saturday. I mean, yeah. they should be right up the top of that division.
No, it's a quality squad he's got there. Yeah. So,
and the good thing from a positive point of view is that it's still in their own hands to take that second place. If they've got three games in hand on a few of the teams, it's only two games on Dunfermline, but there's three games that are rescheduled. One of them is against Dunfermline, so that means they can actually, if they win all their rearranged games, they'll actually go back second. So, I mean, it's there for them, but they need to sort themselves out. As Bear says, it's, well, it was actually Lee Wilkie said in his column this week, shooting themselves in the foot every week. That's what it feels like. And it feels a long time since that Hearts game, when they were absolutely excellent. And it seemed like they'd kick-started the season finally, and they were going to start pushing up and build them some form. It's kind of strange because the way it's obviously such a different season this season after the late start, and it's 27 games. So we're actually, end of February, but we're actually only just halfway through.
It's incredible. And if you can compare that to the likes of United in the Premier League, they've only got three games until the split. You know what I mean? Eight games to go in the season, and Dundee, albeit they've only got 13 to play. Like you say, they're only halfway. There's still so much football to be played.
Aye, well, that's what they have to look at. It's difficult not to get kind of carried away with it, though. Sitting fifth at the end of February is not where Dundee should be. But I did thinking about that heading into that Ayr game. I did really expect them to pick up 3 points in that one. The players they've got at their disposal, the chances they created on Saturday, they could quite easily have won that game on a different day.
Yeah.
To be honest, they didn't defend well at all, but Queen's got a bit of luck as well, because we're in form at the moment. You kind of, that's the way it goes in the Championship. Your luck's with you sometimes. I'm just thinking of the second goal, it hits the post and hits the goal and goes in. I mean, that could easily come out. Stuff like that's going for Queen's, it's not going for Dundee, so it's up to them to turn that around, and you kind of make your own luck, and it's up to them to really finally together performances that we know that the players individually are capable of, but what they should be putting together collectively.
Yeah, Bear, for you, is James McPaik under pressure right now?
I think it goes with the territory, Callum. I think we've been here before with James McPaik. I think already this season, you lose a couple of games in this league, if you're Dundee, you are under pressure. But if you look at the facts and the stats, you know, of where Dundee are at the moment, I mean, I'm sure at the start of the season his objective was to win the league, which every manager would say that, but Dundee's would have been to win that league. Now, you have to sort of realise that obviously Hearts are in there as well. So I think realistically, most fans would say, well, worst case scenario is second spot. Now, at the moment, they're in fifth and they're scrambling a wee bit. So, yeah, of course he's under pressure, you know, and he's got a tough run of games coming up, but he has answered that question before, and it'll never go away as long as he's in the Championship. You know, Dundee are expected to be in the top two, I would suggest.
Yeah,
you know, that pressure will never go from James McPaik, but you know he has been there before, and they've come through it, and they have to get through it again. As you say, there's seven games in March, and it could go a few ways. It could go really poorly for him, which he would then find himself under real pressure, because if it goes poorly, if you have a look at the table, as we've already said, you know, never mind throwing a tablecloth over the vast majority of teams, you could throw a very small hanky, I would suggest, one of these wee ones you get in the plastic bags, you know, the wee tiny ones, over all the teams that are in there. And I'm even talking about Arlo in there as well, so that, you know, they've all got a chance. You see what Queens have done. I mean, a few weeks ago, we were talking about Queens just trying, hopefully keeping their heads above water and not getting dragged into a relegation fight, but they're well in the top four now, and they're on their own. You know, the big thing is picking up wins. 3 points are vital. You know, if you can get a string of two, three wins together, you shoot up that table. And we've seen that with Queens. And we saw that with Dundee when they went on that wee run. They suddenly pushed themselves up there into second place. They need to get back on that run again. They need to get back on it quickly.
Yeah. Right. And just after the game on Saturday, Alan Johnston was actually asked if they're looking at fourth place now and looking for the promotion playoffs rather than relegation. And he quickly said, no, our both won on Saturday, so we're still only 4 points out of the relegation zone, despite being in the playoffs at the top end of the league. So it's just a bit of a mad league that nobody can really rest on the laurels at all, and particularly in Dundee's case. And just as you're saying about McPake and pressure, the thing that is good from his point of view is that Dundee's owners, and John Nelms in particular, they're not going to be rushed into a decision to just decide and get rid of a manager and go for a new one.
No. They've never done that. But is that to their detriment a little bit, though, sometimes, maybe?
Well, I'm reluctant a little to say it's all the manager's fault and I'll be all right with a new manager coming in. You know what I mean? It's quite often the way football teams go, particularly the down south when there's a lot more money going about. And at this time as well, when there's not a huge amount of money in clubs, these decisions cost you money as a football club. And whether they're kind of in the position to take a gamble and change manager and bring somebody else in, or somebody they've put a lot of time and invested a lot of effort into building in a coach and a manager in James McPake, do they just throw that away?
Yeah, it's always been a project, hasn't it? With
yeah, I think so. And I think while they're not in the playoff positions at the moment, but as long as the playoffs are still, it looks like they're getting that into those playoffs, I think everything will kind of continue as is. I think if Dundee are struggling to even make the playoffs, I think that's when the manager will be getting concerned.
Yeah. From the outside looking in, Dodsey, I mean, what have you made of Dundee's season and what kind of game are you expecting in Greenock on Saturday?
Well, as you were saying there, like the players there that James McPake has at his disposal, obviously probably on par, if not some of them better than the ones that Hearts do. But it's a lot of new players to gel together in such a short space of time, isn't it? Like, if you look, I don't know how many players they brought in the summer, but I know there was a fair few that came in January. So to combine two lots of recruitment on top of one that was already, on top of a squad that was already a whole load of new faces, it's just going to jumble it up even more. But, I mean, now this is me vaguely looking at it. I'm guessing it's on paper it looks like quite an old squad, despite some of the players that were brought in, like the young boy from Tottenham and Declan McDade and people like that. You've got guys like Charlie Adam, the goalkeeper, the guys like Liam Fontaine coming in, all quite old and experienced. But surely, like, having to gel all of them together isn't going to help. And things like, as you said, the 7 games coming up, there'll be small, like, niggly injuries coming in that period as well, surely. But in terms of the game on Saturday, it'll be tight. It'll be very tight. I think Morton won't look to pay them as much respect as he did up at Dens. I think that was one of Hoppy's arcs about that game, was that maybe they paid him a bit too much respect in the first half and let them really come onto them. And obviously, young Afolabi scored within the first 5 minutes or something like that. They've shown that they can take a lot of pressure. Wasn't it 26 shots that Hearts had at the weekend, and they only scored one, and Morton only had, I think, 3 and scored one. So they've shown that they can bring back a clinical side to their game and also take a lot of pressure. So I think the pitch the way Capel is at the minute, I think it'll be a stuffy game, but it could be I don't see a lot of goals anyway, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Is it as much changed in the team with the change of manager?
They play football now.
Right.
What were they playing? What were they playing before?
Just an eyesore, a game of tennis, I think, before. it wasn't the best to watch before. It was just hit it long and hope that the striker
chase it,
knock it down, and work for there in the final third. Whilst now they're trying to play through the lines and use it to hold the midfielders, whether that's Reece Lyon and Kyle Jacobs or Chris Miller and Cammy Blues or chucking Ruben Omar in there as well. They do like to try and do that and get it out wide and work it forward from there. It was just, I think, in the last 6 or 7 weeks. What's been missing is that final ball. Because it's quite well documented that they haven't been scoring. I think Saturday was their first goal in 3 games or something like that, which is never good. And they had, I think it was their first shot on target as well for a good couple of games as well, which isn't great either. But whether the additions of Justin Johnson and Kaz Stelling have given certain players a rocket, or just that it was a fact of it was just a dry patch and they just needed one to go in and the rest will come back, we'll need to see. But I don't know, I think the game could either go very well for both teams. It could either go very well and send them on a run to the end of the season, or it could go very bad and then suddenly things are looking bad for more reasons than one, other than maybe Dundee not looking to get a promotion playoff spot, and then Morton maybe being confined to the bottom half of the table and scrapping it out. But I think we'll need to see.
Yep, okay. Quickly before we go on to talk about a few other stories that were breaking around the city in terms of Dundee this week, George, a lot of Dundee fans will be wondering what is wrong. I know the weather's been bad, but what is wrong with the Dens Park surface? And my sort of summation of things is your groundsman piece that you wrote for the paper has been a bit of a curse to the Bryans at Dens. It doesn't seem to have helped them very much.
Well, there's only been one game off since then.
That's enough. That's the fourth time this game's been off. Everyone's sick of it.
Oh no. It was just Sod's Law really this week. If you looked at the weather forecast and you look for the next few days, it's supposed to be dry for ages. I think maybe one day, the only day of rain was Tuesday, and it just happened to be the game the day Dundee were playing a game. The pitch just hasn't been able to recover, I don't think. Overall, all the few weeks just really heavy rain and then the snow.
Was it bad for the Queen's game? Or
it cut up after the game. It looked like it needed a bit of work, which the two Bryans would obviously have been working that night and then into the Sunday to get the game right. And it would have been fine if it hadn't rained, but I think it was pretty heavy rain in the morning. There just seems to be one patch, particularly in the middle, that seems to just soak up the rain. It's just been a problem area. I think the first time I noticed it was the Dunfermline game, which was a while ago. It was cutting up that night, and it's just they've not been able to sort it particularly. And to be honest, when there's no ticket money coming in, you can't exactly go chucking money at it to sort things out, can you?
And it's hard
to kind of remember that.
It's hard as well because it's usually a fantastic pitch, we have to say, and they do a great job on it. It's one of the best in the country. I know United fans particularly have been enjoying sort of poking fun at Dundee for it, but it is a great pitch, Dens Park. It's usually an absolute joy to watch a game on and probably a joy to play on for the players, I'm sure. So,
A lot of players have said that over the years they enjoy coming up to Dens and playing on the good surface and that.
Enjoy it too much, probably. It's probably good that it's a bit cut up.
Possibly.
So, But yeah, that game's been rearranged for March the 16th. It's one of Dundee's 7 games in March. So we are going to get it played before lockdown's over. I think a lot of people were wondering what's going to happen first, lockdown finishing or Dundee playing air. So no, we're going to get it in on time. Couple more things before we move on and speak about United. Bear, we've seen former Dundee manager Neil McCann check in at Inverness this week on a caretaker basis. John Robertson's taking some compassionate leave at the moment. What are your thoughts on seeing him back in football management and potentially coming up against his old team at some point over the next few weeks?
I know, and I think it might be next week actually.
Tuesday.
He's down the road. Good for Neil McCann. It'll be interesting to see what he does, Callum, because as we all know, when Neil McCann came in initially to Dundee, it was to keep them in the Premier League, and he did that.
Yeah.
You know, with aplomb after the split, he came in and won games, and they did it quite comfortably in the end. You know, I think he'll be tasked at Inverness to try and get them into a playoff spot, and it's certainly not beyond them. I'm wondering how he's going to play, because we saw at Dens when he came in, he changed the style of play, and it wasn't to everyone's liking, shall we say.
Played out from the back, didn't he?
I mean, you can see that, you know,
at least.
Yeah, absolutely. He was ahead of the game there. I would suggest, Callum, when he came in. I mean, you see more and more clubs trying to adopt that, and I think it worked for Dundee. And to a point. I think, you know, they certainly had the players there at that time, Glenn Kamara, to take the ball deep areas, you know, and move it on. It's when you try to do it and you don't have the players with that sort of ability.
You mentioned they have the players, but you've only named Glenn Kamara, and I really can't think of anyone else.
It was Jack Hendry.
Jack Hendry was all right. Yeah,
Jack Hendry was class.
Yeah, Jack Hendry had the pace, of course, yeah. I don't think they had the end product as well, which was a bit unfortunate at
that
point
Musa.
In time.
They had Big Sophie and Musa. He was a diamond.
I don't think they had the end product. Looking.
Yeah, Jaws, another big story this week in our part of the world was... former Dundee striker Kane Hemmings coming out. It was the Guardian who was speaking to, wasn't it, about some struggles he's had with his mental health, and a lot of that took place at Dens in his latest spell last season. Anxiety, suicidal thoughts. Hard to read and upsetting to read, but really important that he came out, and also good to see that the club rallied around him at the time.
It was pretty tough. It was a tough read, but it was the good thing I always think about when you're kind of reading these things and players are talking about them, it means they're in a much better place than they have been, and they're able to speak about it because they're kind of past it, or they're getting past it. So that's a big point I took out of it. And yeah, it just goes to show that you don't really know what's going on inside somebody else's head, particularly footballers, when they can in the public eye and people are shouting at them from the sidelines and all sorts of stuff, or used to be before all this. It doesn't surprise me at all that the way that people at Dens Park reacted. And obviously the manager and Kane Hemmings were good friends as teammates before in Hemmings' first spell at the club, and that's no surprise that and how James McPeak dealt with that and kind of give his friend exactly what he needed, which is a bit of time, and he managed to get some help. And Lorraine as well, the kit lady, she's a big help, I think, to all the players there. She's a massive part of the club, and I'm not surprised that Lorraine was involved either.
No, she's like a kind of mother figure for a lot of the players, isn't she?
I think she tells them exactly what they need to hear sometimes, whether it's good or bad. Yeah. But it was. You can't really believe somebody kind of thinks like that when you think they're in such a great job being a footballer and scoring goals. And he mentioned that in his first spell when he'd scored 26 goals in his best season ever, and he couldn't understand why his head was all over the place, and he was having to pull over the car and cry on the side of the road and stuff like that. It just goes to show that anyone in any situation, no matter how good their life is looking, can be affected by these things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Big respect to Kane for coming out and speaking about it. It was like you say, you mentioned some of the stories there, George. It was a tough read, but it was really honest and. You know, it's good for these conversations to be like that and open and maybe encourage other people when you see someone, you know, in that position as a relatively famous footballer to be coming out and saying these things. It's always good, you know, and it's also excellent to see him on the men now. So, yeah, all the best to Kane and his family and everyone else. So we're going to move on now and take a little look at the Tangerines. Yes, Dundee United were in action at the weekend as well. They played Rangers at Ibrox on Sunday, went down 4-1. I was there, maybe a little harsh on United. They started the game very, very well, but Rangers ran away with it. The goals for them coming from Yanis Hadji, Ryan Kent, Joe Aribo and Alfredo Morelos. Mark Menotti getting a late consolation. Yeah, Rangers just sort of showed their class a wee bit, George, and United couldn't really cope, but you know, a bit of credit to Mickey Mellon's team as well for going there, and I think that's only the second goal Rangers have conceded at home this season. So I think I said in my match report, United have to take that as a win in current circumstances. Obviously tongue in cheek, but that's just the level they're going to have to get used to playing at, isn't it?
Aye, it's a scary home record. That it's absolutely outrageous, really. I'm just having a look now. 15 games, 15 wins, 44 scored and just 2 conceded.
Yes.
Nobody's managed to cope with Rangers this season at Ibrox. So, Yeah, it was always going to be a tough ask, and they can count themselves a bit unlucky, I think. The first couple of goals in the first half were deflections, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually deflected one in.
The first one particularly was a massive deflection, and you know, the second...
Was it an intentional deflection, wasn't it, with Hadji?
Yeah, he sort of steered it, yeah. But, you know, Sigrist can't be expected to save those, and then, obviously, Joe Aribo absolutely leathers the third one in the second half. I mean, what a strike. He was... played out his skin. I think he's one of these players that can blow hot and cold a wee bit, but he's got all the technical ability in the world, and he's a big lad as well, and for a guy that size with that strength and power to have the touch and the ability to shoot like that, it's a frightening prospect for defences. So no, you're right, George, they were a bit unlucky.
And they created chances. That's something we've criticised them a lot over the entire season, getting that link between midfield and attack, and they create chances against the best defence in the league, so they should take some heart from that going into... It'd be a big one on Saturday. I think if they get a win, they're in really good shape.
Yeah, looking ahead to Saturday, United go to Kilmarnock Rugby Park to play Tommy Wright's team. Obviously, he's now in charge there at Killy Dodsey. How do you see that game going? Killy have been in a really, really tough bit of form at the moment, and they'll be itching to turn that around, but in the same vein, United have got top six ambitions as well.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I think, given the run that Tommy Wright's had since he's came in, I think I've seen it talked about elsewhere, he's had Celtic, he's had Rangers, and he's had, I think Motherwell was one of them, wasn't it? So it's three really tough games he's had, so I think maybe this will be the game that you see any work that he's done on the team, whether they'll be hard to beat. Just a typical Tommy Wright team, really. Is it at Kilmarnock or is it at...
Yeah, it's at Killy, aye.
It's at Killy, so on the Astro as well, so that'll be a leveller. But, I mean, I think we didn't last time Dundee United went down there, they get beat quite badly,
channelling your Stevie G there, calling Dundee United Dundee.
I know, sorry.
He'd be getting he's been getting absolute pelters for that. He did it in the post-match press conference. He started gave credit to Dundee. He went, got to give a bit of credit to Dundee for the performance. And I'm sitting there and I'm
after
like...
After Dundee's performance on Saturday, they'd have taken it.
I was sitting there thinking, I was like, should I say something here? And I was like, Steven Gerrard, can I say it in here? He's a Champions League winner, do you know what I mean? I'm just some wee bam from Paisley, so I was just like, aye, Dundee it is, do you know what I mean? So,
you sounded any posher when you said, I'm a wee bam from Paisley. You could not have sounded any more posh when you said that.
trying to make up for it.
It's a strange old setup after matches at Ibrox, isn't it? You don't get to ask your question. Is it the same yourself, Calum? It's in order.
Yeah. So it came to me last, and I was very close to being like, Stevie, you won't be very popular in Dundee for calling United Dundee. But I completely ducked out of it and just put my hand up like, I've not got any questions. I'm fine. You know, I don't need any Steven Gerrard. It's okay.
I didn't even get offered one when I was doing the game.
No,
Gary McAllister was sitting there, but no, yeah, I didn't.
I've got some.
Get the chance.
I've got some sway and influence down that neck of the woods, so I wouldn't be too hard on yourself there. Looking ahead, obviously, talking about the Killy game, Dodsey, big one for United. George, do you think it's a must-win, given they've got to play Celtic and Aberdeen before the split, if they want to make that top six with, you know, St Mirren in pole position right now, St Johnstone are kind of in and about as well? It's a crucial point in United's season.
Yeah, it is, but I still think no matter what happens, that they're going to be all right, I would imagine. So it's kind of... they've done the hard one, now this is where they can get their reward if they want. This is a big game, particularly the way Kilmarnock have been really toiling at the wrong end of the table, and United are playing well, which they'll be going into it with confidence. And to be honest, the way Celtic and Aberdeen are going at the moment, they're not the difficult games that they have been in the recent past, to be honest.
And they're both at Tannadice as well, so that should hopefully give United a wee bit of an edge. But
I think if they're going to get the top six, they probably will have to beat Killy on Saturday, because Well, obviously, it depends on how St Mirren's game in hand goes in the midweek.
Tonight? Yep, tonight, as we're recording.
Yeah, what's your prediction for that, just so you can look silly when folk actually listen?
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look silly enough after that Liverpudlian accent. So, that's a big question that Mickey Mellon's going to have to answer in his team selection for this weekend, is who actually does start up top for United. We saw them go with all three, Shankland, Clark, and Appery against Rangers, but Mark Minolti comes off the bench and, you know, he's given his manager a bit of a headache by getting that goal. You'd imagine, George. I mean, how do you see United going down at Killy with in terms of their strike force?
It's a good headache to have, that.
Yeah.
It's better than the headache he's probably had most of the season when he's trying to figure out how to get goals into his team. Well, it's going to be Shankland. I think I'll probably be correct on that one.
Yeah, undoubtedly. He's sort of like a stick on, isn't he? He's a talisman. He can produce magic.
Man.
So, you know, you need him in there.
I would guess it would probably be McNaughty. I think it'll be similar to the team that played just the other week against Livingston. I think it'd be similar to that one, to be honest.
No, I would agree. I think as harsh as it is on Nicky Clark, they looked a better team with McNaughty and Appery in the side, Adrian Sparla in the side as well, and I think that's the general consensus. But yeah, Shankland's a stick on, isn't he? So
I'd be interested to see if Mark Reynolds plays. He's had his history on Ashutor, stuff like that.
Yeah,
so I wonder. Yeah, I think he has played this season on it.
I think he's played most games, but there hasn't been much choice with Mark Connolly being out, but he's back in contention now.
So I'll be interested with that. But yeah. I think maybe it was just last season when he was getting still not too long over the injury that maybe he's got over that. But yeah. I think that'll be an interesting one for the manager, and which way he goes with that.
No, it's interesting. I don't know. I think the only reason that we saw Nicky Clark starting at Ibrox is because Peter Pollitt was suspended, and he will be suspended again for the game at Killy. And I think Clark can come into that sort of number 10 position, sort of roaming about the middle of the park like Pollitt did to create things. And he might, you know, stick with that, you know, and have a front three and have Clark in midfield. You know, it's been done before, and we've seen them play all four before. So, you know, nothing will surprise me in terms of Mickey Mellon's team selection. He does like to mix it up, particularly in the final third. We'll see. Massive game. I would agree with what you boys were saying about this is the one they need to go and get the 3 points from if they want to make the top six. With, you know, I'm not predicting it, but St Mirren game in hand tonight against Motherwell, who are dog meat, so I'd fancy St Mirren to win that. I know I said I wouldn't make a prediction, but there you go. You know, and St Johnstone looking in decent nick at the moment too. So, you know, big one for United. Another story from the weekend was young Kerr Smith getting his debut at Ibrox. Only 16, coming on the young centre back. Just the latest in a long line of players that we've seen make their debuts for United this season. You know, we've seen Lewis Nielsen, Kieran Freeman, Dan Watson, Kai Fotheringham, you know, guys like Logan Chalmers getting more of a chance. It's credit to Andy Goldie's youth setup that they're producing these guys for the first team and seem to be having some sort of impact in Mickey Mellon's thoughts anyway. Anyway, enough absolute nonsense in this section. We're going to move on and get serious and talk about the other team on Tayside. Yes, of course, I'm talking about St Johnstone, who play in the Betfred Cup final this weekend. They take on Livingston at Hampden on Sunday. A huge game for the Sainties, huge game for the area as well. As much as this is a podcast about the two Dundee teams, we'll be wishing them well. Dodgy, how do you see that one going? I take it you've seen quite a bit of both teams this season. What do you make of the matchup?
I think it's going to be a tight game, despite Livy's form getting into it. Do you think it's going to be a tight game? It's two teams that are very hard to beat, but then again, Saints can probably argue that they played a nicer football to watch going forward. Again, it's going to be one of those ones that's going to be, I think it's going to be one goal that settles it. Don't think it'll be high scoring, but I don't know. I think it'll be for both teams. I think it'll be key if Livy have Scott Robinson back or not, because I think he is just so important to how they play, like up front. Like, I just, since he's been out of the team, they've not been able to replace him at all. And likewise with Saints, I think Guy Mohammed, I think he's been a brilliant addition for them up front. So it'll be interesting to see those two go head to head if Robinson's fit to start.
Yeah, and George, St Johnstone are certainly the in-form team, which is something you might not have assumed was going to happen when this game was first sort of, you know, put on the cards. Livingston were flying and St Johnstone were struggling, but it's completely flipped now. Does that benefit the Perth team going into this?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, they couldn't have asked for a better warm-up game at the weekend. They absolutely battered Motherwell.
Dogmeat Motherwell.
Yeah, they were. I haven't watched the sports scene. They got St Johnstone. I think the only disappointment was they only scored 3 goals in that one. And that's been a problem for them all season. But when I've seen them live, I've been really impressed with how St Johnstone have been set up and the way they get after teams. And they get a lot of bodies up the pitch. They weren't getting rewards for that early in the season, but they're certainly getting it now. And I would back St Johnstone to win it, actually. Because Livy have just kind of gone off the boil a wee bit. I don't know whether they've had one eye on the final, that the old chestnut, not players worried about getting injured or worrying too much about their form rather than just getting on with it. So I think St Johnstone go into the contest as favourites for me. And as Dottie's saying, I like Melamed. I think he looks like a really... He's got real quality, yeah. I think.
What a goal he scored against Motherwell. Eh? Yeah. What a finish that was.
It's a great goal.
Yeah.
Chris Kane's been getting goals as well. He worked so hard. I think they're a good fit together. And then you've got Stevie May as well. I think they've got some real good players. And one player that I think could make the difference is David Wotherspoon. If he's on form and if he's fit, if he's on form, he can be a really top player. He doesn't always show it, I don't think, but he's got real ability in there. And big Sean Rooney as well. He's been amazing for St Johnstone.
It'll be like a win for Queen of the South if St Johnstone win it, won't it? Because Xander Clark was there on loan, Jason Kerr was there on loan. Sean Rooney was at Queen's as well, am I right in saying? Aye, so...
Aye, Chris Kane was with us for a while. Yeah. They all learned the best stuff at Palmerston, obviously. I think Jason Kerr was actually our top scorer when he left in midway through the season. Yeah. He was that good for
us. He's a very good player. Very good player.
Yeah, he's excellent.
Absolutely, and you know, we'll be giving them our full backing. I say that just before I ask you for predictions, which is always risky. So, Dodgy, how do you think it's going to go? Score prediction.
1-0 Saints, Scott Tanzer penalty.
Very specific. Oh yeah. He's been up at the fence at the McDiarmid Park Astro watching the penalty practice. Boy, Tanzer's brilliant.
Prediction, I think Dogmeat Motherwell will beat St Mirren.
Right, okay. that might come back to bite you or me, so that's good. That'll make for a talking point next week. But
no, I fancy St Johnstone. With Rooney on the score sheet.
Okay. Another very specific prediction. 5-0 Livingston. I do fancy Saints. I think we all do. I think strange for them to be going in the game as favourites, but again, a tight one. I fancy Livy to score. Hopefully it's a good final. So, you know, say 2-1 St Johnstone. Maybe after extra time. That'd be interesting. A late winner from Melamed or something, that'd be a good story, yeah. But all the best to the Saints and obviously our teams this week as well, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it, or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people find Twa Teams One Street, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget to pick up your copy of The Tilly Monday to Saturday for all the latest from Dens and Tannadice, or go to thetilly.co.uk to find out how you can get the paper delivered right to your door.